Did you know that over a million new businesses launch each year, yet nearly 40% fail in their first year and 80% within five? I'm Derek Schmidt, and I don't want you to become another statistic. That's why I started the Entrepreneur Bootcamp podcast. I'm going to use real-world experience and straightforward advice to help you navigate through the rough waters of entrepreneurship. Whether you're drafting your first business plan or aiming for new heights, this is your toolkit for however you define success. Let's dive in. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Entrepreneur Bootcamp podcast, where we bring you the best tips, strategies, and success stories from the world of small business and entrepreneurship. I'm your host, Derek Schmidt, and today we have an incredibly insightful episode lined up for you. Joining us today is Brian Currian, a seasoned sales coach and copywriting expert. Brian has built a remarkable career helping businesses attract their ideal clients, close more deals, and generate additional revenue through his specialized coaching and copywriting services. With a near full book of business, his strategies have proven effective in driving organic growth and word-of-mouth success. Brian's journey is inspiring. He actively engages with the entrepreneurial community through online platforms like Entrepreneur Mastermind Facebook Group, local networking and rally, and Thumbtack. His practical approach has not only helped him build a thriving business, but also position him as a go-to expert for entrepreneurs, solopreneurs, and small to medium-sized business owners who often juggle those numerous responsibilities with limited resources. Today, Brian will share some of his top tips on improving copywriting and sales strategies, drawing from his extensive experience. We'll dive into his effective marketing tactics, the challenges he faced while scaling his business, and how he's prepared to launch a virtual bootcamp group coaching program to help better serve his client. So without further ado, let's welcome Brian Currian to the Entrepreneur Bootcamp podcast. Brian, how you doing?
Thank you so much, Derek. I'm doing good, man. Thank you for the very amazing introduction. Thank you. That lights me up. I appreciate it.
And how was my copywriting skills? Did I do a good job? My sales skills?
Flawless. Flawless. You sold me on me.
Oh, wow.
That's pretty incredible. Perfect.
That's great to hear. Perfect.
Thank you.
So thanks again for joining us. I guess to kick things off, my first burning question for you is, can you share a little bit about how you got started in sales coaching and copywriting?
Yeah, man. Oh, gosh. So full disclosure to the audience here, whoever may be out there in the world that's going to listen to this, I am probably going to get emotional at certain times during the interview. I'm already like bracing for it. My story, and I apologize in advance, but my story to me, I think it's pretty unique. I had a feeling you'd ask questions like this, so I'm just trying to emotionally, brace myself.
Sure.
I want to give out that preamble in case I start like crying or something. But it started for me. It started when I was actually really young. I think I was probably like 6 or 7. That's when I first started realizing that I absolutely love entrepreneurship before I even knew what entrepreneurship was or how to even spell it. I used to have lemonade stands. I would like collect Pokemon cards and grade those bad boys. And, sometimes I have like baseball cards and trade them and sell them. And I do chores for some of my neighbors in my neighborhood, shovel their driveway. I grew up in Michigan, so we had a lot of snow. Shovel their driveway, cut their grass, rake their leaves, anything, man, anything to make some money. I did all that because, my parents immigrated here, immigrated to Michigan from South India. Very traditional folks with what I grew up with. So the last thing you want to do in my house was ask my parents for money, especially my father. So some of you were raised a little different, and that's okay. But for me, there would always be a lecture, associated with, do you know how hard I had to work for this money, for this $5, $10, et cetera, et cetera? It'd be a guilt trip and a lot of shaming. And so I just like, you know what, dude? I'm going to stop asking you for money. I'm just going to go out there and I'm going to get it myself. But some people are kind of like, oh, man, that's tough. Or your dad was a little harsh. But truth be told, I'm really grateful I grew up like that. I very early on realized what my skill sets were, what I'm good at, what I don't enjoy doing, what I do enjoy doing. I really enjoyed helping people solve their problems. I love seeing people happy. I loved seeing people value me and appreciate me and give me like those positive words of affirmation. That's my love language, I realize, is words of affirmation because I rarely had it growing up. So, the things that we don't have, are usually the things that we overly seek out. So yeah, and from there, you know, I got my first sales job when I was 18. I started out as a cashier at CompUSA, and I got promoted onto the sales team because I got really good at selling the extended warranties on a lot of our tech products. So when I got my first, you know, quote-unquote sales job, the assistant sales manager there at the store mentored me, opened me up to reading really insightful books on psychology and persuasion and sales and how to have better conversations with other people, and really just opened my mind up to, well, I like to think being a better person, being just more diverse and dynamic. And it was the first time, Derek, in my life where I felt like I was actually good at something besides just sports. I was always like pretty athletic and I love sports, and I, you know, I was really physical and very, that's how I learned, you know, by doing things. So sports is a big way of how I taught myself different things. But sales was the first time I felt like, man, if I just stay committed to this thing, I can actually have a better life. I can do this sales thing. And if I just stay loyal to it and keep learning and keep growing, I could have a pretty decent life someday if I just don't quit. And over my career spanning almost 2 decades, I think it's been like 18, 19 years, something like that. I've been the guy that was making the cold calls and booking the meeting, all the way to the guy that was doing the negotiations and the proposal presentations and the quote unquote, you know, getting the deal over the finish line or closing the deal, to the guy that would have the responsibility of managing those folks. So I'd have my own sales team. I'd have to train them, mentor them, hold them accountable for their goals, inspire them every day, because sales is a tough gig, as a lot of us know. And a lot of us find that out the hard way. So I've done it all there. And then I branched out into copywriting over the last 4, maybe 5 years. Mm-hmm. Started a blog, launched my own online publication where I became an editor there. I was doing that on a volunteer basis because I wanted to learn how to do editing at a high level. So I did all the editing for a lot of the writers that were in our publication. I learned how to grow an online community that way through the blog. It's on medium.com if anybody wants to check it out. But you know, from there, man, got into freelance writing, copywriting, coaching, got promoted up to a master coach at a high-ticket business coaching company. So that's when I really started diving into the world of business consulting and business coaching. Mm-hmm. And you know, teaching people sales, teaching people copywriting, teaching people marketing, and really being hands-on with them, and absolutely fell in love with it. And basically in my business, these are all the things that I offer my clients. It's the stuff that I've had to learn how to do at a high level over my career. But it really did start when I was just a little kid, you know, figuring out where I fit in this crazy world and how I hope make the world a little bit better after I'm gone. So that's where it all started for me.
Yeah. So looking back, like, do you recognize, or do you think you recognized then that you would be pursuing a career in sales? Or is it something where, like, you look back now and you're like, oh yeah, I've kind of always been, you know, a salesman or good at sales?
So the story is a little different there. So I've literally been telling my parents since I was probably 6 or 7 years old that I was gonna be a business owner someday. That was always my dream. I know it's kind of crazy. Like most little kids, you know, they want to be an astronaut or a police officer, a superhero, you know, for Christ's sake. Not owning a business. That's not sexy. It doesn't sound fun. Yeah. But that's all I ever wanted, you know. All I ever wanted to be. My parents very much wanted me to go into like the healthcare world, and because most of my family's in healthcare, they're nurses, my uncle's like radiologist or work with x-ray technician, mm-hmm. My dad worked at a big hospital back home. He retired a couple of years ago. So I'm like one of the only people in my entire family that ever was even remotely interested in business, let alone since a young age. And I am, as far as I know, I'm the only person in my entire family, again, that I know of, that actually had their own business. So I'm just a different breed, yeah. You know, in my family, different human. So there was no one to really look to for like mentorship or guidance of how to do this entrepreneurial thing. I very much had to seek it out for myself. And I'm so glad I did. You know, I learned so many valuable lessons that way. And as far as sales, really, man, like I said, you know, the light bulb really went off when I got, even when I was a cashier at CompUSA selling those extended warranties, that was really the first experience I ever had with quote unquote sales, mm-hmm. You know, on more of a professional level than just selling lemonade to people in my neighborhood, you know, out of my lemonade stand as a kid. I didn't think that was sales. I was just having fun. and hanging out with my friends, you know, making a couple bucks a day during the summer. But yeah, when I started to see, okay, I can get these conversations, I can ask certain questions, I can have, like, I can make money doing something, you know, and exchanging like a service or, you know, whatnot. And then when people tell me no, and I face that rejection head on, I can deal with it and I can move on to the next experience interaction. It really doesn't bother me that much. It's not that big of a deal, you know? So the sales thing taught me so many valuable life skills at a pretty young age. And from there, I really gravitated towards it because I believed that sales and having these types of thoughtful conversations are in every aspect of our lives. I negotiate with my toddler on something every single day and no one pays me to do it. It's the wildest thing, but I do it, you know, and I'm thankful that I have that skill set because it's every day, man. And you have four kids, so you know what it's like. Yeah. It's every day.
I'm always negotiating. And to that point, we are technically selling ourselves every day. And it's interesting, you know, you talk about, and we may have talked about this before, but you talk about your upbringing and just recognizing, you know, your path to where you are now. And I have similarities in my childhood where, like, I remember, you know, I was never big on sweets, but I was the guy after Halloween who would take my Halloween candy and sell it at school. And there are examples of that all throughout my life. And I didn't really think I'd ever be the person to own a business. It's just something that I kind of naturally fell into. And then I loved it. Mm-hmm. But prior to that, like, and still today, like, I have imposter syndrome. I don't consider myself a salesperson. Sure. And I'll tell people all the time, like, if you're expecting me to do a hard sell on you, you're going to be extremely disappointed. But I think where it's benefited and helped me is that it's genuine and that I'm not genuinely trying to sell them. Like, I'm very interested in hearing about their potential problems. And then if there's something that within my expertise or my service or products or whatever that I believe I can present as a solution, then it's a natural fit. But if I get the rejection part, the no, that's totally fine. You know, I move on to the next one. If they don't see the value, then it's probably not a relationship I want to have with them anyways. And we both just go our separate ways and I wish them luck. And, you know, sometimes that comes back around where it didn't work out and other times it doesn't. But it's interesting, the sales role, the sales capacity, the entrepreneurship.
Yeah, man. I think a lot of what you just said definitely resonates with me. I too would, you know, go out and get a pillowcase full of Halloween candy as a kid and be like, I don't need to eat all this. We need 4 pounds of candy, you know? Yeah. Like, most of my friends got a ton of candy too. It's fine. We all share anyways. Mm-hmm. Take it to school, sell some of it, make a couple bucks. I would do stuff like that, you know, out of my locker and whatnot, out of my backpack. Hey, you know, who wants this? I got extra stuff. I can't eat all this anyways. And they'd throw me, you know, 50 cents or a dollar here and there. It was awesome. Cool. I have a couple bucks now, you know, for the week. But I think to me, I'm also, and I know you probably realize this about me because we spent time together. I'm very much like against the hard sell.
Yeah.
I think, you know, who I am and what I stand for and the way I treat people and the way I talk to you and carry myself. It's who I am.
Yeah.
Like the way I'm talking to you right now, this is how I'm going to be once this call is over. Like once this interview is over. It's the same way I am towards my son and my wife and everywhere else I go. Sometimes that vibes with some people, sometimes it doesn't, and that's okay. I got tired of trying to be a certain version, you know, for every different person a long time ago. So just, this is it. You know, you can take it and we can work together. And if we feel great about the relationship, cool. If it's not a good fit, it's okay, man. You know, I know I'm not right for everybody, and unfortunately, not everybody's right for me because they're not going to appreciate me or respect me or appreciate my boundaries. I wouldn't want to work with those folks anyways, right? Because it's not going to end up being a good relationship for us anyways. I think the best sale that can happen is when a pitch isn't even made. It's just when two human beings are trying to get to know each other better. They're genuine in their wanting to connect. They're genuine in their wanting to help each other. And it just makes sense to work together.
Yeah.
I really don't try to convince anybody that they should work with me or hire me. And here's why. Here's my pitch. Here's my elevator pitch or whatever. Here's my value prop. A lot of the things I do that you can look online, you can look on my website, you can talk to me as a person. It's for the proof of concept.
Yeah.
Like, for example, I'm real big on proving it, right? I've had to do that my whole career. All of the copy on my website, about literally 98, 99% of it, I wrote it myself. I wrote it by hand. No ChatGPT, no AI. I didn't outsource it to anybody else. I could have. Did it all myself. And some people look at me like, dude, why would you do that? Like, there's better things to do with your time, right? Well, if you're going to tell someone that you're a copywriter and here's what you charge for XYZ services, and they look on your website and you didn't even have any input on the copy you wrote, let alone like you didn't write it yourself.
Yeah.
Dude, like it's hard for me to tell them and to quote and quote convince them that I can do a great job writing the copy for their website when I couldn't even do it for myself. That's just, I know that's like a little extreme, but that's just the way I am, yeah, right? So
toodles.
when they look at my website and they read the copy, and if they make a comment like, wow, this is actually pretty engaging, I really liked your story, who wrote this? Oh, it was me. Well, then there's no pitch that needs to be made, because then the light bulb goes off that maybe I can do that for them too.
Yeah.
There you go.
And I think to draw attention, and what I hear you saying is it's authentic. You're authentic and people know what to expect when they're working with you. And I think people come to sense that energy, especially if you're like in a physical meeting or, you know, presentation or something, like people pick up on that energy and they can tell that, you know, you're authentic and you're passionate about your subject and your topics. And, you know, that just makes them want to work with you even more, you know, maybe if they're the right fit.
I think when I tell people I've been in sales for almost 2 decades, they're like, I mean, if I didn't love it, dude, I would have left a long time ago. Right?
Yeah.
A million other things I could have done with my life for half of my living years on earth. I could have done something else. You know what I mean? So there's not really much else that needs to be said. Like, I don't need to sell you on the idea that I love sales and I've learned a ton over my career. I really have done it, you know? So, yeah.
So what are some key services you offer and how do they benefit your clients?
Yeah, great question. So some of the things I offer, there's a lot I'm doing right now. There's a lot I'm doing for folks. Some of the things revolve around ghostwriting, research, proofreading, fact finding, ghostwriting, keyword rich blog posts for their websites, for articles for their websites that are keyword rich. Also, you know, stuff that they want to post on LinkedIn. If they've, you know, newsletters and things on LinkedIn that they want to, you know, post about or post content for. We also offer email marketing, you know, nurturing campaigns or, you know, creation of email marketing campaigns for them. I ghostwrite social media captions for them, again, with the intention of helping them attract more of their ideal clients at a faster clip. I do a lot with organic lead generation training, so showing them a lot of the stuff that I do in my own business and special order things that I've had to do at other jobs when I used to work for other people. Strategies and tactics that we would deploy to grow our own book of business. I offer, of course, sales coaching, sales training, mentorship there. A lot of people end up using me as a business consultant because I can look at different parts of their marketing strategy, copywriting strategy, sales strategy, and help with a lot of it. So instead of pigeonholing and saying, just help me with copy or just train my sales team, they'll say, can you help with like the umbrella, right? Can you help with all of it? Help me with the overall strategy. So they'll end up bringing me on as a trusted business advisor or a consultant that can be backstage pulling the strings, so to speak, and helping with some decision-making processes there. I've done a ton with like editing training manuals and, you know, research documents and things like that as well. Account expansion training. So if they have an existing book of business and are trying to craft new packages, irresistible offers, referral programs, organic ways to grow that book of business without having to spend money on paid ads and whatnot, do a lot with that here too. That was a big part of my career, was account manager roles, client success manager roles, and what have you, and having to generate additional revenue for my company organically from this book of business that I manage. So we do a lot here.
Yeah. For our audience, can you explain what ghostwriting is?
Oh, of course. Yeah. So ghostwriting. In essence, you would hire me to, for example, if you wanted to update your website copy, or you just got a website and you need messaging, you know, on various sections of the site, you don't want to write it yourself. You would come to someone like me and say, hey, Brian, here's my business. For example, I own it with my wife. Can you make us like sound really good online? Can you write the copy for my website so that the right clients see it, engage with it, want to contact us, and want to work with us. Can you tell the right story? Yes. So you would send me certain pieces of information that I would need, obviously, to tell the right story. But in essence, I would do a lot of the research for you. I'd look into who you're trying to serve, you know, in your niche, in your industry. I would write all the content for you, so it's done for you. And then I would hand it over to you. You can post it as such, and it's yours. So you don't really have to do all that much as far as the writing and the editing and the research and all the stuff that goes into, you know, writing really good copy. And we do that on various levels. Sometimes it's as small as ghostwriting 2 or 3 social media captions for a business per week. Sometimes it's a little bit lengthier, like ghostwriting 1 or 2 keyword-rich blog posts for their website per month. Sometimes it's very extensive. It might be ghostwriting an ebook for them.
Yep.
Like that's like 20, 30 pages, right? That I have to research and manually write and then edit and do rounds of revisions to make sure it's perfect for them. So there's a whole scope of things that a ghostwriter can help with. Sometimes it might be someone might want to come to me and say, hey, dude, I have a great idea for an autobiography. P.S. It's about me. Can you write it for me? Can you write the manuscript? It's an arduous task. It's an arduous project, but yes, we can. So there's a big scope of things that we can do there regarding ghostwriting.
So ghostwriting, by definition, is basically somebody else is writing the material and you are able, or you pretty much take the ownership of it and can pass it off as your own or whatever you do.
Bingo.
Perfect.
Yeah. Even if like so a few weeks ago, a gentleman needed me to ghostwrite a 7-minute long speech for him that he was going to use to pitch his business idea to a panel of investors to raise $1.5 million for his business that he's trying to get off the ground. So I got to do all the research. He gives me certain information about his business and kind of key things that he wants to be embedded in the speech. But I'm writing the speech. I'm training him on how to deliver the speech. And then he is going to give the speech as if he wrote it himself.
Do you know if he got the investment?
So he hasn't given the speech yet. It's going to be in a couple of weeks.
Okay.
My God, Derek, I'm literally right there with him, dude. I'm like, okay, let's tell me how it's going. Tell me everything. I'm like, you know, in the hunt with him. We haven't given the speech yet. So yes. See, I'm even saying like it's my business idea. Yeah. It's this guy's idea.
Well, you've got skin in the game. You've got some investment in it.
Of course. Yeah. And he wants to, you know, if it goes well, which I'm confident it will, there's other stuff he's going to need me to ghostwrite for him, including speeches. And he wants more public speaker training and other things. So that's how it works, though. If you find a ghostwriter that you love, 9 times out of 10, there's going to be other things you're going to ask them for, because there's usually a wide breadth and depth of copy and content that person is more than capable of creating for you, because that's kind of what they do, right? Usually, most people don't just ghostwrite and just say, oh, all I do is blog posts. I just do blog posts. Typically, they've done other things that are, you know, in their life or with their career. So, you know, when you find a ghostwriter you love, you tend to want to work with them for the long haul.
It's like a good mechanic. What?
Don't ever leave them if you find one.
Exactly. What have been the most effective marketing strategies for your business?
For me, it sounds kind of cheesy, but it's true. It's what I've done. For me, I have come to realize there are opportunities all around us. Everywhere I go, again, this is who I am. So everywhere I go, there I am. I end up striking conversations up with people and like you know, just having a beer with you, picking your brain about your business. I'm genuinely a very curious person. I ask a ton of questions because I really want to understand like who you are. What do you stand for? What are you all about? Why do you have the businesses you have? What made you want to do this thing? Tell me about your upbringing. How did you become this? Like, there's a lot that I can pack into a conversation rather quickly because I've had to do it so often over my life. And then it ends up turning into someone that might want to work with me. And I didn't have an intention to go in there like pitching you on my business and my services, but a lot of times that's kind of what ends up happening. I've joined some really top-notch online communities revolving on entrepreneurs and, you know, mastermind type groups. So I've been able to generate a lot of leads that way just by having virtual coffees and networking with people and having calls and discussions and referring folks to them and they'll refer folks to me. I like to think the best marketing strategy for me, it has been, I'm very good at what I do. I'm obviously very passionate about it. I take it extremely seriously. This is my profession. So I have very high standards for the work that we create here and for what we, when I put my stamp on something, it has to be top notch. I don't accept anything less than that. Not for me or any of my clients and vice versa. And then just being intentional about telling people what you do, okay, and why you do it, and then asking questions and trying to learn about them and genuinely wanting to connect. Very thoughtfully aggressive with asking for referrals as well. I practice what I preach, so I always preach the three R's to all my clients is, if you're really good at what you do, you should be able to put your money where your mouth is, and you should have no problem getting a positive review from this client. There's the first R. The next R should be getting a renewal from this client, because there's probably additional challenges that you can help this person solve, because you said you're good at what you do. So a review, a renewal, and then the last one is a referral. If you can help them, why can't you have other people in their network that might have the same problems? But you have to ask for that, right? So you have to ask for the review. You have to ask for the renewal. You have to ask for the referral. And if you can lock in on those three R's, you'll always have a very stable, flourishing business. I'm almost positive that's why you're doing what you're doing, and you have the success that you have in your business, because you know, people love working with you. Otherwise, you wouldn't have businesses. Right?
I have no idea what I'm doing to this day. I wish I did. I'd write a book and make $1 billion and go live on the beach somewhere with my family.
Same. Sure. We're still learning every day.
Yeah. I am. I am a lifelong student. Can you share a success story from your experience with organic and word of mouth marketing?
Oh, man, wives. So many. I'm fortunate to be able to say that for stuff. So, when I used to work at that high ticket business coaching company as their master coach, which I mentioned earlier in the conversation, many of my students there, I call them students, I know they're high ticket clients, but I saw myself more as a teacher, you know, as a mentor to them. So this is who I am. I stayed in touch with just about all of them. Over the years, you know, asking them how their business is going, their families, checking in with them every few months or so, sometimes longer, depending on what's going on in my world. And they would do the same. When I launched my business, my very first client was one of my old students. She used to come to my copywriting clinics. If I wouldn't have been a good person, if I wouldn't have stayed in touch with her, if I wouldn't have continued to help her and act like genuinely care about her, I mean, where would I be today?
Yeah.
We've worked together on a couple of different deals and partnerships, you know, after me and her finished our initial engagement. There's another client of hers that she wanted to bring me in to help and provide some services for. We're going to get rolling with him for that engagement in like middle of August or early August. So she's referring other people to me. I've referred people to her, and I plan to continue to do so. Other students of mine from that same company, they've referred folks to me that ended up signing on with me. One of them I'm going to be working with in some capacity and seeking some of the services in her business. And again, I worked with her almost 3 years ago, man, like different life, you know, different version of myself and vice versa. That's organic. That's not me, again, having to go out there and pay to be in a networking group or pay for ads and pay for this and pay for that.
Okay.
Just, you know, being a good person, asking for the referral, continue to help, continue to solve problems. And it's really paid off for me. In a lot more ways than just monetary. You know, it's filled my life with a lot of fulfillment and joy. That's all I could ever hope for. So yeah, it's been wonderful.
Living in your Dharma. Man, that's been a phrase I've been saying a lot lately, coming from some recent reading and stuff. But yeah, so it kind of fills your bucket and gives you a sense of community.
Yeah, absolutely. You got to have the right people in your life, man. Yeah. It's so funny that you said that phrase. The one person I told you I was going to be seeking some of her services, she literally told me that. She's like, you are literally stepping into your Dharma.
Yeah.
Like you have become, the exact person you were always destined to be. You're living the lifestyle that you knew at 6 years old you were going to be living. The thing that you used to tell your parents you were going to do, you're doing it. It's just crazy. Yeah. Again, I'm trying not to get emotional, but yeah, I am doing exactly what I feel like I'm supposed to be doing.
Good.
And I'm helping the people that I feel like I should be helping.
Yeah.
You know, and you can't put a price on that, man.
That's purpose. That's your North Star. And it's free marketing too. So it beats the hell out of anything else you could be doing that would be costing you money. And I mean, yeah,
crime
investment, but it literally costs you nothing to produce.
Yeah.
So what kind of challenges did you face when you were scaling your business, and how did you overcome them?
Well, you, me, and probably 90% of entrepreneurs out there, if not more, I had no money when I started. None. I had no resources. I don't have any family members that have, I told you, I don't have any anyone in my family that's ever had a business.
Mm-hmm.
So who do you ask, right, for mentorship and guidance? When I unexpectedly lost my job back in mid-January of this year, I don't even know if I have a chance to tell you, but lost my job, man. And it was the third job that I had been let go of in literally the last 2.5 years because of a downsizing, or they're cutting my role, or whatever. Nothing to do with my performance or my attitude or my attendance. Nothing to do with any variable that I could actually control. So finally, it was very much the straw that broke the camel's back. I just couldn't effing stand it anymore, Derek. Couldn't take it anymore. I couldn't stand. I literally couldn't stomach the idea of applying to jobs for months again.
Yeah.
To possibly have this happen to me again. And so 4 days after I lost my job, I launched my business, dude. I launched my business. And I tell everybody, I have never been happier in my entire life, except for 2 times. First time was when I got to marry Sierra, my wife, the younger. That was the happiest day of my life. Second happiest day of my life was when we got to have my son. That's it.
Yeah.
Here we are. So yeah, I'm good, dude. I'm good on all fronts.
Yeah. Same, dude. I had a computer. That's what I had to start a business with. I was doing it part-time. Job I was working at the time was starting to cut back hours, lay people off. And I was like, look, I think we can make this work. Lay me off. Let me possibly collect unemployment if I need it, but I think I can get this going. And when you're, you know, for anybody who's just starting out, may be able to resonate with this, but when you are fully responsible and in control for your income, not knowing where your next check is, it is extremely motivating.
Yep.
And you get a fire lit under you, or at least speaking from personal experience, I never even collected unemployment from that job. I was immediately at a point in my life where I was making more money that first year in business than I'd ever made working for somebody else. And the ability to have a little more creative control over my future and my outcome was enough for me to say that. If I ever go to work for anybody else, it's going to be hopefully to just kind of teach them anything they're interested in learning from my own experience, but not because I want to. That itch.
When you don't. Yeah, dude, I think that's the biggest thing, right? Like especially when you have a family to support, when the rent is due, when your kid, the next time your kid tells you they're hungry, the next time, you know, y'all want to go somewhere for the weekend, you know, as a family and do something, next time one of your bills is due, anything.
Yeah.
To not have a quote unquote payday expectation, your biweekly paycheck. My God, I think the best analogy that I can give to the audience, for those of us that either don't have a business yet or just are just starting on that journey, I liken it to, and maybe you can resonate with this, I liken it to, you know, back in the very early days of man, you know, we had to go out with nothing but a spear or a hammer or whatever tool that we fashioned, you know, weapon, and you had to go out and you had to hunt for your own food. You knew it was out there. There were animals out there and berries and fruits and different things. You knew they existed. Sometimes you wouldn't know where to look, you know, if you had success finding that game previously. But just because you had success hunting in that same area last time doesn't mean that animal's going to be there this time, right? So you're constantly having to hunt and work hard and sacrifice. And when you finally, you know, get that kill, so to speak, and you bring it back for your family and say, look what I did. This is for us, right? We can celebrate. We have food for the day. We're good. Man, I can't wait to do it again tomorrow. And so you keep learning from those experiences. You keep going out with your spear and hunting every day. You know, there's no room to be complacent or lazy or think that you've arrived or you finally made it, because there's always new things to learn. There's always new challenges coming up. Your clients are always changing. You know, the the world around me and you is always evolving. So we don't get to just sit back and share the work with our coworkers or have our boss tell us what our core responsibilities are of our job, right? That's on us. There's full autonomy. And again, I've never been happier. There's a ton of pressure that comes with that too, of course, but I felt the same pressure when I was working for somebody else. I told you, I lost my job 3 times at 2.5 years from 3 different places, and I was good at all those jobs, and I still lost the job, dude. So it got to a point at this last job where I started to feel like, are they going to let me go this Friday? Am I going to lose my job next week? What about the week after? Because even though I'm doing good, what if they let me go? They start living in this like constant fearful state that you're going to get let go anyways.
Yeah.
And then it comes true. Like that ends up happening to you again. So like, why not work for yourself and control more of the outcomes?
Mm-hmm. So how do you plan to balance the individual client work with the new coaching program?
Yeah. So the new coaching program, we're getting ready to launch it. Knock on wood. With the timelines and things that we're hitting on with our objectives, we're looking to launch either in mid-July or late July is our timeline as of right now. The initial boot camp that I'm doing, it's only a 4-week boot camp. So after the 4 weeks are up, then I'm going to probably take another month or two to put together the next group coaching program, the next mastermind, or if I want to do another boot camp, immersive, intense type of training setup, great. We have to figure that out. The cool thing is I'm going to be bringing on strategic partners. So there's going to be another person that's going to help me run the training, run the coaching. So it's not just going to be me doing the weekly, you know, sessions or whatever. It's going to be, you know, me and this person. So I have someone for this next one. I'm going to probably have someone in mind for the one after that, right? And we're going to brainstorm and figure it all out together from there. So hoping every 2 to 3 months, I do a group coaching or a boot camp type of thing. It's not going to be an every week thing. It's not going to be an every month type of thing, because I, of course, want to focus on my individual clients as well. And it's a fine line to walk. It's a balancing act, because you don't want to start taking too much of your focus away from those folks and under-delivering for them, because you're trying to serve the 10 people that are in your group coaching program for the month of August, right? Who may or may not want to end up being one-on-one clients with you once the boot camp is over. So I have to juggle those plates, so to speak, and do right by everybody.
Kyle, so what are the top 3 copywriting tips you would give to someone looking to improve their marketing?
Yeah, easiest tips I can give anybody. Know your audience, right? Have a very, very, very good idea of your ideal client avatar. It needs to be absolutely crystal clear. You need to even have an idea of what does this person even look like, seriously. Like, how do they dress? What's their family dynamic? What's their lifestyle like? Their age, you know, age, their income. What do they have as a job? Or do they own a business? Do they not have a job, quote unquote? Like every little detail needs to be perfect, because then it'll feel like your copy is lasered into that specific human being and all the people in their life that are very similar to them. Like same hobby, same lifestyle, same family, you know, dynamics, profession, all that. Those are your people, you know, so understand that, like know who your ideal client avatar is. Next, I would highly recommend that you do some research online for the type of content that those people tend to resonate with, right? So for me, people like me who are, you know, entrepreneurs and in this age group and, you know, have the kind of friends that we have and the dynamics and social circles that we have, a lot of us tend to vibe with content that's posted by people like Alex Hormozi. Dude, my idol. I love the guy. So knowing that, if a lot of my ideal client avatars are similar to me, well, they might look to Alex as a guiding light or an influencer and other folks like him, right? Or like an Ed Milet or whatnot. So I absorb their content. What are they talking about? What's their company looking like? What's the stories they're telling? What are the lessons and guidance they're sharing? What's the type of mentorship they're sharing? What are the programs they're affiliated with? What are they promoting on their channels, right? And then I look at the engagement that those posts are getting, and I can put my own spin on it, right? If I have similar experiences or guidance I can offer, cool. I know it vibes with this audience. My audience is similar. So now I have content strategy there, a pipeline, so to speak, of ideas, right? I've been doing that for years. I didn't really understand that I was doing that, but I was. I was just doing it naturally. And it turns out that was a smart way to do it. The last thing I can suggest regarding copywriting is you have to be able to be excellent storytelling, right? What I mean by storytelling is do not just talk to me and your other ideal clients about why your product is the best, why it's priced, what it's priced at, your promotions, blah, 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 blah. All of your competitors are doing the same thing. Pretty much everybody's doing the same thing. But what is the story behind it? Why do you have the businesses you have, Derek? Talk to me about your family. Talk to me about your upbringing. Like, what made you into this person? Why do you care about these products and services so much? Tell me about some of the success stories that you've had that keep reigniting the fire, right? Yeah. Why do you still have these businesses? Because there's all these things that you could be doing, you know, with your time, other people you could be spending your time with. Like, why are you still doing this? Why are you still like so mission driven? P.S. What is your mission? Like, these are the things that are going to resonate with, quote unquote, your people, not the service or product that you're offering. Because there might be 1,000 of people in your community that are offering the same exact thing, and they're saying the same exact thing. So your story and your ability to tell your story is what's going to help you stand out from the pack and earn those customers' trust, right? And get them to want to do business with you and not somebody else.
Yeah, there's a really good book that comes to mind, Simon Sinek, Start With Why.
Start With Why, yep.
And there's a video, you can find the TED Talks on it too, if you're not into the, reading. But okay, so how can small business owners improve their sales strategies to close more deals?
Step one, personally, you have to be able to ask the right questions. Got to ask clarifying questions. You got to ask open-ended questions. You got to be thoughtful. And you can't be saying the same things and in the same way that other people in your industry and in your space are saying. Because if the customers are smart, they're a lot smarter these days and a lot more attuned to what is happening, especially when they go to make a buying decision, a purchasing decision. So if you're treating them like every other salesperson treats them, they're not going to respect you. They're not going to hold you in a high regard, and they'll just go somewhere else. If I just go to someone else that's going to charge a little bit cheaper of a price or rate, because now you're going to be competing on a price-based model. You're not going to be competing on a value-based model, because they don't see you any differently than other people that can do what you do.
Right.
So asking those questions, being curious, genuinely trying to build a real connection with them, right? Again, this is going to go, it's going to come full, 360. The best sale that can be made is when a pitch isn't even delivered. Don't pitch people, right? I don't have shit to sell, dude. Like, here's your challenges that you told me. Here's what I do. I've solved them for this other person. I can tell you the story of Vince, the speech that I ghost wrote that I told you about. I have that story ready to go. And if it makes sense to work together, I'm happy to do it, man. I'm happy to help you. If it doesn't make sense, that's okay. But you have to ask those thoughtful questions to show this person that you're genuine in trying to help them. Next, I think a lot of people have this uncomfortable feeling with asking folks for money. And there's an awkwardness there, right? But like, you have to be comfortable with the fact that when you go to ask them, there might be a no coming your way. And then like, here's the why of I don't feel comfortable paying that, or I don't want to work with you, Derek. So-and-so quoted me a lower rate. Why are you guys so expensive? You told me you're going to make a website, but it could take 6 weeks for my site to be completed, if not longer. Why are you taking so long? The guy down the street said he can have it done in 3 weeks. Like, why would I spend more money with you when I got to wait twice as long with you too, Derek, just to get my freaking site made? That doesn't make sense. To them. So, being able to just understand those objections that are coming and being able to very quickly and very confidently overcome them and shatter them, because you're the expert. So you would know what to say, but just having that confidence to be able to say it, and communicate well and articulate your thoughts at a very high level, a very high value level, I think it's crucial. And I think another part that I always tell people is you have to have the ability. If you don't have it, it's okay. You can learn it to make people feel important and feel special. To me, they are, right? This person that's working with me is paying my rent this month. This person that worked with me and is doing this engagement, hey, they're going to make my credit card payment this month. This person's paying my car note. This person's doing this. Everything is attached with something. Thanks to this person working with me, we're able to pay for groceries for the next 2 weeks. My wife and my son are going to be okay. So I, that's me. That's, you know, there's certain dollar amount I have, but on the flip side too, and to go deeper, hey, this thing that I'm doing for Vince, if he gets this $1.5 million, it's going to change the entire trajectory of his family's life. What's that worth to me? And like, it's special because he could have gone and had someone else help him with that. He chose me. So yeah, I'm going to take it really seriously. Like, his family is depending on me. So I think in a much deeper level, sure, initially it might think, this person's paying this bill for me. This person's paying my rent. This is amazing. This person's paying this. I'm so thankful that this person's working with me because my family's going to be okay thanks to them. But then I go deeper, right? Like, okay, now what am I going to do for this person? What are they expecting of me? And, you know, if I can really till it for them, how is that going to impact them and their business and their family? Wow, I get to be a part of that? Amazing. Okay, so now I'm going to take it super seriously, compete, and do amazing work for them. That's how I would encourage every business owner to look at it. Because I think a lot of times people look at it from the transactional point of view. Here's what I'm going to do for them. Here's what they're going to pay me. Great. Transaction complete.
Yeah.
I always try to look a lot deeper than that, you know, to the best of my ability.
Seeing it more as a contract instead of a relationship. You know, and these days when everybody is competing to be the best option for a commodity, setting yourselves up as more of the value-based option is super important. And that's something, you know, you've asked about my years in business on the marketing agency, and I've never wanted to compete on price or be seen as a commodity. And I try to tell people that when they first call and they're looking for pricing or, you know, quotes, rates, whatever. I tell them I'm not trying to be the cheapest. We shouldn't be the most expensive, but we should be the best value for the money. But in order to find out if we can even help them, we need to go through a series of questions. And that kind of separates the people who are just price shopping, because if they get to the point where I'm asking them questions, then they're starting to be a little bit of a connection there, a relationship. And then I'll go through my questions. And the questions are designed so that I fully understand what it is that I'm quoting for. How are they going to measure success? Yep. Like, what are they going to look at 3, 6, 12 months down the road to say, yes, this was great. This really changed my business. You know, I need to know these things before ever giving them a price. And then finally, we'll get to like a proposal meeting, which I do, me personally, I do together, either virtually or in person. I don't blindlessly just send them a proposal or an estimate and hope to hear back from them.
Same.
But that process and the fact that somebody probably won't get a price from me for their marketing or their website, you know, within a week, it'll be a week before I turn it around, but I'm doing a lot of stuff in between that week, like due diligence in their company and their competitors and all this extra stuff, and hopefully added value where they perceive that as value, and that hopefully sets us apart. And I think that's been one of the things that have led to what I would define as success with the agency. It's just that process. Like, we're not the volume based. Yep. I'm not giving you quotes. I'm not trying to be, you know, lumped in with all these other people. Like, if you want an experience, which is ultimately what we're selling, that's what I'm hoping to show to you from the very first time we talk.
I love that, man. You know, and I think, yes. I think that even like when I first met you, everything that you just said is exactly like what I thought about you. I was like, this dude's thoughtful, he's insightful, he's asking good questions, he's trying to get to know me. There's no pitching here, you know, like we're just trying to connect with each other, trying to get to know each other. He's like a really good dude, he's humble. But then like the more questions I would ask you, you're talking about books that you've read and E-Myth, you know, revisited, and you talked about all these different things. Like, this guy knows his stuff and like really passionate about business, and he's trying to deliver an experience, a quality experience for his clients. Not trying to be the cheapest guy out there. Yeah. He's not trying to be the cheapest agency or anything. So, in my own special way, my own unique way, I'm similar, right? When people work with me, I tell them like, you get me, my name on the business. It's my hands on this project. It's my mind. It's my skills. It's me. So, you know, if you don't like me and don't like the way I'm talking to you or the vibe that, you know, I'm giving off, that's okay. I'm just letting you know you're probably not going to work with me because you're not going to enjoy it, right? Like everything you're talking, if it isn't vibing, it's okay. Like, but I'm straight up, you know, I'm very transparent. There's no BS here. And I'm trying to give you an amazing experience. I don't want to just charge you X amount of money for this speech or this blog post or whatever and say, okay, cool, transaction complete. Like, have a nice day. Let me know when the next time is that you have a blog post you need to have ghostwritten. that's what a lot of folks in this industry do. It's just, here's my price for X, Y, Z service. Choose off the menu. Give me your credit card. Okay.
Yeah.
Money into my bank account. Here's my work. Have a nice day. Hope you like it. It's just
very similar.
I really can't. Yeah. Somewhere. Very similar. I can't stand it.
It makes me, I'm not a big fan of the cookie cutter factory assembly line process when it comes to business and individuality, and everybody is basically trying to set themselves apart from the next guy. So what are some common mistakes you see in sales and marketing, and how should people go about avoiding those?
I think so one common mistake that I've seen in marketing, especially, a lot of times entrepreneurs, especially if they're newer in the game, a lot of times they try to market their service, the product, to everybody, right? They try to people please. And they say, I can work with that person in this demographic. I can help them. I can help them. But when you try to serve everyone, you end up serving no one. I very much try to be a specialist with a lot of things I offer and things that I've picked up on over my career, lessons I've learned, best practices that I've learned. I'm not trying to serve anybody, you know, out there, and their grandpa and their dad and their uncle and every vertical. I can't. I have zero interest. It's overwhelming. I have zero interest in doing that. And I wouldn't even, zero interest, I mean, just in general. But so that's on the marketing side. They try to serve everybody and people please everyone and make everybody happy, and they end up making nobody happy, including themselves. But on the sales side, I think a lot of times entrepreneurs, especially newer ones, they value that dollar so much that to close the deal, so to speak, they lower their own standards, and they'll say yes to a client or several clients that are not a good fit for them.
Yeah.
Because they want to make that dollar. They want that contract.
Yeah, trying to be all things to all people.
And you're setting yourself up for failure, man. That person's not going to be happy with you. You're not going to be happy with them. It's gonna spiral out of control at some point. And the person that's going to end up dealing with it all is you. And it's just not worth the stress and the headache for the $200, the $1,000, whatever the deal is for. In my experience, it's just not worth it. I say no to a lot of deals too because the person's not right for me, and vice versa. That's just how I operate. I'm very selective over who I work with, because you're going to be a big part of my life.
Yeah.
So I got to make sure that we're going to do that.
I am too. I want to tell you a funny story. I had, there was somebody who reached out, and we went through a process of like getting the discovery questions and stuff. But I started to get a sense during that process that we may not be a good fit. Right before or right after the proposal meeting that we had in person, I was asked a question, which isn't, you know, uncommon, but they were like, do you have any referrals or, you know, clients that you've worked with that I can talk to and, you know, learn more about how you've helped them. But what was interesting is that the reason they reached out to begin with was that they had worked with a handful of other agencies in the past, and it's not worked out. And this person would just kind of talk negatively about the agencies and the relationships, which I can also understand. There's a lot of smoke and mirrors in this industry. But what really shook this person was that when they asked me for the referrals, I had a list of over 300 clients that we have, you know, worked with. And I'm like, here's the full list of clients that we've worked with, both the good and, you know, any quote unquote bad ones. Now can I have a list of some of the agencies that you've worked with? Cause I'd like a referral from them, or, you know, their feedback for you as a client. And that just kind of like blew the lid off this person. And they were like, why would you ask me that? Nobody's ever asked me that. And I'm like, dude, it's, you know, you got to be a match for us as much as we want to be a match for you. Like, this has to be a relationship, and we're in the dating stages. And if it's going to be a, you know, a marriage, then we've got to make sure we're a fit. And I want to know why you have not had success with some of these other companies. And that was just something that was so out of pocket. But it probably saved us a lot of stress, money, because had we proceeded and signed this individual, as I mentioned, you know, we kind of saw some of the red flags in the beginning, probably worked out.
Yeah, I think, you know, very much, see, again, got to come from that high place of value, right? I don't want to just take your money and then have you tell me what to do. And you feeling like you're in charge because I took your money. It's very much a collaboration. I say I'm a ghostwriter, right? But I can't magically pull amazing information about your business and tell your story without like any sort of help and guidance and collaboration from you. I had access to the exact same stuff online that any other human being out there has. If you want me to have access to more special data and information that's not out on online, I would need you to provide that. So like, just because I'm ghostwriting the content for you doesn't mean that like I can make a miracle happen, right? So level setting on expectations, I think, is huge. You have to do it. And if you're willing to pay me your money and I'm willing to take it, well, I need to know that like we're willing to collaborate with each other and help each other and respect each other and treat each other a certain type of way. And if you're not okay with that and I'm not okay with that, well, then keep your money by all means, because I don't want that to make you feel like it's an excuse to treat me poorly, right? Again, there's a lot of things we could do for money. I just so selective for who I work with, dude. I have to be. I'm very protective over my time.
Yeah.
You know, and like my mental health. I have a family. So, you know, I've had clients in the past that were just an absolute nightmare. And even though I like to think I'm really good at compartmentalizing, you know, the stuff that's happening at work to the stuff that's happening with my son and my wife and me, you know, my family, my parents, everything. Every now and then, dude, I'm a person. And some of that stuff seeps into another part of my life. And it's not okay. And I'm not going to deal with it anymore. You know, so this is what you get.
Yeah.
You know, you got to be just as much right for me as I am for you. I love that.
Yeah. So what resources or next steps would you recommend to someone looking to dive deeper into improving their sales or copywriting skills, especially if they have like limited resources?
Yeah. Oh, so I'm such a big reader, right? And I tell most of my clients this. They want to do a better job of learning sales for themselves, even if they're not going to work with me, and they want to explore it on their own at first, or you know, give some resources to their sales team members. There's certain books that I would always recommend. So one of them is by Jeremy Miner. I believe it's, I'm blanking on the title. I want to say it's the new selling model, the new strategy model, selling to an unsellable generation. So good. Again, it provides a lot of insight there and thoughtful and clarifying questions you can ask, objection handling, how to come from a high place of value as a salesperson, how to sound different, be regarded and reviewed as an expert and not just another guy or girl that's trying to make a sale. I love that book. It's been my Bible, basically. So it's on my shelf. I still refer to it. Another one is the Never Split the Difference by Chris Voss. Love that book. That was a game changer as well.
I've read that one.
I figured if this dude can, convince people to let hostages go, maybe I can convince people that it's the right thing to do to work with me, right? Like there's no hostage involved, but just please like give me a chance. Maybe it's not so serious. So I figured I'd read that book. It was phenomenal. There's Jeremy Miner's podcast is amazing. Closers Are Losers. Again, the stuff is either super cheap or it's free. If podcast, it's free. I listen to it all the time. I love listening and absorbing content from Alex Hormozi. He gives a lot of good, you know, entrepreneurial advice. And sales, you know, leadership and thoughtfulness and thought leadership there as well. So those are some of the resources that I push people towards or nudge them towards. A lot of things that they teach and preach, I've adopted as well in my own way. So yeah, that's where I would start. With copywriting, there's a gentleman on LinkedIn that I love, and I used to read his blogs all the time on Medium. His name is Nicholas Cole, NICOLAS, last name's Cole, COLE. Provide a ton of tips for folks like me that are copywriters, ghostwriters, even folks that just want to improve their marketing strategy. Because he's had really successful marketing agencies in the past, and he's done a lot with copywriting and ghostwriting himself. So he does a ton of really cool content and thoughtful content that I devour. So I nudge people that way as well.
That's great. Where can our listeners find out more about your services and connect with you?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm on LinkedIn. If you just look Brian Curran, look up Brian Curran, B-R-I-A-N, last name is Curran, K-U-R-I-A-N. You connect with me there. I'm on Facebook, of course. My website is super easy. It's literally briancurriansbusinessservices.com. You can fill out the contact form there if you'd like to inquire about any upcoming needs you might have and how I might be able to help and serve you. Would love to have a conversation with you. And then Derek, seriously, if you want to share my phone number in the links, feel free to give folks my direct phone number. I'm happy to have folks text me or set up a call with me that way. And they can, I'll share with you my Calendly link as well if they want to book a call that way on my calendar too. So a lot of ways to get up with me. And I'm, again, when you call in, you'll get me. So we're very, very personal here. We do the white glove treatment for folks. I always say it's kind of like a boutique agency type model. Yeah. It's very much customized and personalized. So there's not a thousand people that work here that I'm going to pass you off to. There's no jumping through hoops. There's no, we'll get back to you in a couple weeks. It's no, we're going to get back to you right now or literally as soon as we possibly can. It's going to be me doing it. So, I'm proud to have it that way for now until I start getting some more help and we get to that point. But yeah, follow me for now.
Okay, great. So we have the segment that we're starting to do now, and it's called the Pay It Forward segment. Basically, it's an opportunity for you to give a shout out to another entrepreneur or a small business that you admire or that you've been inspired by. So for our Pay It Forward segment, who's one entrepreneur or small business that you'd like to give a shout out to and why?
Absolutely. So her name is Leslie Nays, L-E-S-L-E-Y. Last name is Nays, N-A-S-E. She's one of my current clients. I've been working with her for, it's been 3.5, almost 4 months. Absolutely love her. I adore her. She's an amazing person. She offers services that revolve around helping business owners like reignite their purpose and find their sense of fulfillment and joy. A lot of times from what she's discovered is these folks are kind of burned out or facing burnout in their business. A lot of them own family businesses, so they've been doing it for a long time. So helping them transition and finding their next step in life, they're writing their next chapter, so to speak. She's very good at what she does. Extremely passionate about it. She used to run her family's business for a long time up in Vermont. So she's an expert at this whole thing. I just love her. And I just want her to do really well. I love what she's doing. I love the people that she works with. I love the work she's doing. So I always have the nicest things to say about her because I genuinely really admire her. So she's definitely someone that I would shout out for sure.
That's a great shout out. Perfect. Thank you. And so that wraps up another fantastic episode of the Entrepreneur Bootcamp podcast. I hope you found today's conversation with Brian Curran as insightful and inspiring as I did. Brian shared some incredibly valuable tips on sales coaching and copywriting, and I'm sure you're all eager to start implementing his advice. If you want to connect with Brian and learn more from his expertise, make sure you follow him on social media platforms and check out his website. He's also sharing great content and tips that can help take your business to the next level. Also, don't forget to join the Entrepreneur Bootcamp podcast community where you can engage directly with Brian and other amazing entrepreneurs. It's a fantastic place to ask questions, share experiences, gain support from like-minded business owners. Brian is an active member of that community, so this is a great opportunity to connect with him and get even more personalized advice. To join that community, just visit entrepreneurbootcamppodcast.com. Completely free, and you'll get access to a wealth of resources, networking opportunities, and exclusive content that can help you grow your business. Thank you so much for tuning in today. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review, subscribe to the podcast, or share it with your network. Your support helps us bring you more valuable content each week. And until next time, keep pushing forward, stay motivated, and remember, you're not alone in this journey. We're here to support you every step of the way. Thanks again for listening. Brian, thank you for joining us. We'll catch you on the next episode.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I love you. I love what you're doing. And give your family, my best. Really admire you as well. So thanks for everything you're doing.
Thank you. Hey, make sure you subscribe for more insights. And if you like this episode, consider sharing it with a friend. Join our free community at entrepreneurbootcamppodcast.com and let's start building a great business together.